Everybody got quiet. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday morning. Glad you're all here. I want to welcome our Facebook crowd and all those who are out there in the parking lot listening on the speakers in 88.1. Glad you could be with us. And we're going to start our service off this morning with a song number 189, The Lily of the Valley. 189.
Quick announcements to run through this morning, and then we'll continue with our worship service. The drive-through Easter drama is this evening, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., so if you haven't been drafted or recruited to participate, come on out and invite someone. Also, everyone who is on the same note, everyone who is volunteering or participating in that, try to show back up this afternoon by 2:30 p.m. so that you can help to set up with all of the props. So again, if you're in the drama itself, come by 2:30, and the event itself starts at 5:30. The church is still accepting offerings for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and that will continue through the month of April. You can donate here at the church or online. And lastly, the Samaritan's Purse Shoebox Ministry has now begun, and that will be from now on through, I believe, October, it says on the supply list. There's a basket out in the foyer where you can drop off your item donations, and out on the table in the foyer, pick up one of these supply lists, and it'll give you the items that you can get for that. Is there anything else that needs to be mentioned or announced?
We'll be in the book of Luke 23. Luke 23.
All right, and with that, let's all bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, just for another privilege to be in your house, Father, Lord, just to come together as one body, Lord, to worship you, Father. Lord, at this time, I just ask your blessings and for your Holy Spirit, Father, Lord, just to fill us and to fill this building and this service. Let your presence be made known. It's in Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and sing another song, number 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 202.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here today. How many of you have to go back to school tomorrow? That's what I'm feeling this morning, ain't it? I thought, but ain't it a beautiful day today? It is a gorgeous day today, and it's going to be a blessed day here today. It's a busy day, but it's going to be a blessed day. And like Brother Wayne was trying to teach last Sunday night, as you're turning to the book of Luke, chapter 23, we have a God that majors in the unexpected. And so I pray you've come expecting the unexpected today, for God to do something in your life that you have not expected, did not expect, but are ready to receive if it's His will to give it. Amen. We will be in the book of Luke, chapter 23, and again, we want to say welcome to all of you today. It's good to see you. We're beginning to see some old, new faces again. Some are feeling better, ready to come back out. I know some are getting their shots and kindly just waiting their time period now. Y'all pray for this microphone this morning, because this is the third Sunday I've used it, and it's getting better every Sunday, but it still ain't quite right yet, okay? But for those of you that's watching by Facebook, and for those of you that's in the parking lot, as well as us that's here in the sanctuary, it is good to have you today. And that if you don't remember anything else about today's service, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Now, my goal is today, as you're turning to Luke 23, to have you out of here by 12 or before. So that means that you're going to have to listen fast. I'm going to do my best to get you a nap this afternoon, okay? At least a 15 or 20 minute one after you eat your meal. But do we have any other words of praise or testimony this morning before we go into our message today? Anyone? We do just want to thank God for what He's doing. He's answering prayers every day as you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23. Praise God, as you know, Miss Betty McCorkle a few weeks ago had a major stroke. But praise God, she is doing better on that end. She's dealing with some other physical issues, but we give God the praise for that. Also, Miss Susan Hood came home this week. That's an answer to prayer also. We were praying for some others that were out of state dealing with some physical issues. But also today we do want to pray for Miss Henrietta Roach's family. Some of you may not know, but the family has been called in. And unless God does a major work, she'll be graduating into her heavenly realm before long. So lift up the family and continue to pray for them. All right, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, we're going to pick up in verse 33. And if I had a title for this morning's message, as you're staying with me, if you're able to this morning, it would be The Greatest of Last Words. The Greatest of Last Words. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors on one hand, one on the right hand and other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His remnant and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now, I think we might have said this last Sunday, but if you remember that if you were a thief, then above your head there was a placard that said thief. If you was a murderer, then there was a placard above your head on the cross that said murderer. The only thing that Pilate had to put was King of the Jews. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And when it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, basically from 12 noon until 3 p.m., and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. The greatest of last words. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to You today thanking You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your faithfulness, and just the fact that You have brought us full circle another week and allowed us to come back to Your house with Your people to worship You in truth and in spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask You to forgive me of my sins today, and I pray You give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Lord, not for anything other than that the Word of God may go forth and lives may be changed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You teach us what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. And God, today I pray that those that are listening by Facebook, in the parking lot, those that are here, Lord, and even myself, that You just speak to us today through Your Word and through Your Spirit, and that Jesus will be glorified to the honor of the Father. And God, thank You, thank You, thank You for saving us. Holy Spirit, please meet with us today and break through Your Word for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bear with me, I got a runny nose today. All righty. Now, all this week, and let me just kind of give you the same message that I sent out this morning. We can be just as excited today as we were last Sunday, because you know the tomb is just as empty today as it was last Sunday, and it's just as empty today as it was the Sunday when the Marys and the apostles went down and found that Jesus was not in the tomb on the third day. Amen? So even though we may not feel like worshiping, He still is worthy of worship, and it is our duty and our privilege to worship Him today. But all of this week, as I prayed for and I planned the message, seeking the Spirit's guidance, knowing that we had the resurrection drive-through this week, and let me say this, I pray and I hope that you've not only made plans to be here tonight, but that you've also invited somebody, at least one family, to come and to drive through and to see the amazing truth of the resurrection. But so as I prayed and I planned, I knew in somehow, some way, that I felt like God wanted me to continue and wanted us to stay around the crucifixion and the resurrection. This morning's message was my desire this week as I prayed is that it would be in the shadow of the cross and celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive and that the tomb is empty. And as I began to kind of type out the manuscript or the guide for this morning, thinking about wanting to preach in the shadow of the cross and celebrate the resurrection, I kind of felt the Holy Spirit kind of nudge me and say, well, shouldn't that be your goal every day? To live in the shadow of the cross and live in the celebration of the resurrection? Amen. That should be our heart's desire every day. But I got to thinking and I began to read about the last words. And you know that Jesus basically, from what we've read and what we can tell, is that basically Jesus has seven phrases or seven last words or quotes that He has on the cross. And this morning what I want to do is I want us to look at those last words and I want us to find out what we can learn and what we can take away from the last words of Jesus Christ. As I studied and I prepared for this week and this morning's lesson, I began to read behind a lot of well-known celebrities and their last words. John Wayne, he spoke to his wife Pilar, and she must have said, "Do you know who I am?" And John Wayne responded, "Of course I know who you are. You're my girl, and I love you." Apple founder Steve Jobs said this, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow." Then there's Frank Gundish, who is also known as Bruiser Brody in the WWE back years ago. And he was murdered, and the last thing he said to the people that was around him was, "Take care of my family." And then there's the poet and the writer Edgar Allan Poe. And on his deathbed, he said, "Lord, help my poor soul." Founding father Benjamin Franklin said, "A dying man does nothing easily." Chris Farley, the comedian, said to a prostitute before he died, "Please don't leave me." Comedian and silent film star Charlie Chaplin, as a Catholic priest, spoke the last rites over him and said, "May God have mercy over your soul." Chaplin responded, "Why not? After all, it belongs to Him." And then Princess Diana said, "My God, what is happening?" As I thought about it, I read many more. Some of them were profound. Some of them were just nonsense. Others were very scary. Many of them were not fit for the pulpit. But I challenge you to go and read behind some famous people's last words. Like I said, some of them are very scary. Go behind Joan Crawford, the old actress, and read what she said before she died. James Brown, hear what he said before he died. But personally, when I thought I was leaving this world, I wanted my last words to mean something. In that moment, I wanted my wife to know that I loved her. I wanted Jesus to know that I loved Him. And if I had said any bad words in those last few minutes, please forgive me because I don't like to talk like that. That was what I kept repeating in there. But much of the time, when you are able to read or hear the last words of somebody, I spoke with someone this week and they were talking about their loved one. And they were able to tell their loved one that they loved them. And their loved one wasn't able to speak it out, but was able to move their mouth that they loved them back. Those last words mean something. And a lot of times when you catch a glimpse of those last words, you can truly catch a glimpse into the heart of the individual. As they get prepared to leave this realm of the temporary and move into the realm of the eternal, there's something that sometimes they see into a realm or they're able to look into a place that we cannot see. And those words that they speak either are profound or sometimes it may give you an idea to where they're headed to when they leave this realm. But today I want us to look at the seven things, the seven last phrases of Christ as He was on the cross. The first one I want us to look at is the greatest of all intercessions. The greatest of all intercessions. Look there in the book of Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stop for a moment and listen to the rest of these passages. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16. "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the straying, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong will I destroy. I will feed them in justice." Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Or Paul saying, "Of whom I am the greatest of all sinners." From cover to cover, the Bible makes it clear that the accomplishment or accomplishing the will of the Heavenly Father, when Jesus Christ came, the entire purpose that the Father had for Him was to bring salvation to sinners. Those of us that had rebelled against the Creator and blatantly broken His law. And when I say those of us, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." From Adam on, there's only been one, and that is Christ Jesus alone that has never broken the rules or the laws of God. Jesus came so that we could have an eternal relationship with our Creator. But I want you to consider the setting in which Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The crowd was there crying, "Crucify, kill him. We don't care if the blood is on us and on the heritage that we leave behind. We just want this man dead." And not only do we want him dead, but we want to cause him as much pain as physically possible in the next few minutes. And then, not only would they not let him die peacefully on the cross, no, they would go by and they made fun of him, they humiliated him, they mocked him, and they ridiculed him all the way up until the Spirit left his body. And yet it was in that moment that he spoke, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now most of us, while we would never admit this, we say something like, "I'd have never been a part of those Jews that were crying, 'Father,' or 'Crucify, crucify him.'" But you know, if we say that, then we're like the publican who looked, or we're like the Pharisee who looked over at the publican and said, "Thank God I am not like that tax collector." Folks, every one of us has blatantly chosen to break God's law. We have blatantly chosen to rebel against Him. But yet, Jesus Christ, in the last words as He was dying on the cross, cried out not only for them, but for you and I, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And even today as believers, we do not grasp the holiness, the righteousness, and the honor of Jesus. We do not place Him where He is, but praise God, He's still making intercession for us today. It began on the cross and it continues until He comes again to claim us. Praise God, I'm getting back on my heels this morning. Y'all see that? Whew, that's good, ain't it? That's good. That's the greatest of intercessions that will ever be made. But I want you to notice this as we think about the greatest of all last words. There in verse 43 of Luke 23, we see the greatest of all salvations. The greatest of all salvations. "And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" Now, what a wonderful reality that we see here. If we look over into the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 38, where in Luke it calls them malefactors. In Matthew it tells us that they're thieves. Jesus died between two thieves. While He was there on the cross, suffering for your and my sin, one of those thieves was crying out and making fun of Him. And in that moment, He was like so many people today and like so many people have always been. I don't want you for eternity. I don't want you to be my Lord. I just want you to be the genie in the bottle and get me out of this situation I'm in right now. Isn't that what He said? If you be the Christ, then get yourself down and get us down with you. But see, at the same time, we see the other thief. And when you look at the two thieves on the cross, you have to choose. You're either going to be one or the other. There's no in between. You see, the other thief, he looked at the one that was railing against Christ, the one that basically said, do something for me now or I don't want you to do something for me anytime. And he said, do you not fear God? Don't you realize that both you and I are guilty? We've took what's not, what doesn't belong to us. We deserve what we're getting. The placard above their heads would have read thieves and maybe something else. Whereas Jesus, it simply said, King of the Jews. And what did He say? After saying, don't you fear God? He looked at Jesus and basically He said this. I'm sorry that I've broken God's rule. What did He say? He says, I'm guilty. He owned up for what He had done. And He recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. And He says, if you would, when you enter your kingdom, won't you please remember me? What was He doing in the last few minutes of His life? He was saying, Jesus, let Your mercy and let Your grace be a reality in my life. And you know what? Jesus didn't solve His immediate problem. You know what? And that's the way it happens many times in our life. We do things in our life. We have to suffer the repercussions of our actions. Many times we do things, but praise God, Jesus says, and gave Him the best gift that He would ever get. He didn't just say, I'll meet your needs here. But praise God, He says, I'm going to save you and I'm going to save you throughout all of eternity. So you see today, when we listen to the words of Jesus on the cross, we see the greatest of intercessors. But also we see the greatest of all salvations. And then, the second one, or the third one, then this is in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we see the greatest of all family men. The greatest of all family men. In John chapter 19, beginning in verse 26, listen what Jesus said. When Jesus saw His mother and the... Man, it's hot in here. Woo! When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, Jesus said to His mother, Woman, behold your son. Then He looked at the disciple... This, what we believe is John the Baptist. And he said, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, from personal experience and being a pastor for a few years now, many times, myself, and I believe you as well, we forget of the humanity of Christ Jesus. We forget, we're reminded that He is the Christ, He is the Messiah. But at the same time, He was 100% God. He was and is 100% humanity. We forget that He grew tired. We forget that He got hungry. We forget that He knew what it was to have friends and family pass away. We forget that He loved His family. And that He had personal responsibilities towards His family. We know in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, or he's worse than an infidel. And what the teaching is, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament, and Jesus broke none of the law. Amen. So that means that He did take care of His family. He took care of His mother. We also forget this. We forget that Jesus died at the age of 33. He didn't begin his ministry until he was 30, meaning that he had 3 years that he mainly focused on his ministry. I think probably the rest of the time he focused on family. He focused on home. So while Jesus Christ was serving his heavenly Father and he was carrying out the mission of saving sinners like you and I, he also made sure that he took care of his household. And we see that on the cross. He didn't just pass it by and say, let them take care of themselves. No, in that moment before he died, while he was still interceding for sinners, while he was still saving sinners, he made sure that he looked and took care of his mama and his family. But see, even greater than our family's physical needs is their spiritual needs. That our family, just as we do, just as everyone does, needs to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior before it's everlasting too late. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We must not neglect the physical, emotional, or spiritual welfare of our families for worldliness, nor can we neglect for the ministry. You hear what I'm saying? Nor can we neglect our family's physical and spiritual needs because of the ministry. I've said this before and I'll say it about many times after. Everything is good doesn't mean it's of God. You hear what I'm saying? Everything that is good does not mean that it's of God. How many of you have ever heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday was a baseball player from the 1800s. But he got saved and he left baseball to become an evangelist. And basically, he was one of the pioneers of crusades. What we see Billy Graham do in the Billy Graham crusade do, Billy Sunday was one of the ones that helped start that. He would preach to hundreds and thousands of people and they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But what many people, and you know, he was the one that was against alcohol, and man, he would put down the liquor and the whiskey and the bars and all that, and he fought against it. But what many people don't know is that Billy Sunday had 3 sons. And his sons lived a wild and sinful lifestyle. Having 3 sons, he had 9 daughter-in-laws. So much so did they live against what Billy Sunday would preach and what against what the Bible teaches, that when people began to realize that these 3 boys was Billy Sunday's sons, they would try and blackmail Billy Sunday and get money from him, or they would tell the world that his sons were out there living an ungodly lifestyle. All of Billy Sunday's died tragic deaths before the age of 40. One of them, after he got caught drunk and something else, he had broke some other law, ended up killing himself. The other one left a party drunk and killed himself in a car accident. And then the third was killed in a plane crash, according to the BereanWife.net. And I'd heard this before, but I wanted to make sure I had something to quote. According to ChangingSeminaries.com, Billy Sunday once said this, "The tragedy of my life is that though I have led thousands to Christ, my own sons are not saved. The tragedy of my life is that though I have led thousands to Christ, my own sons are not saved." Boy, that's my worry. That's my biggest fear. Both of my children have professed to know Jesus Christ as their personal Saviors. But I want to tell you this. There's no question that the enemy, Satan, has a bullseye target on the children of those that serve Jesus Christ faithfully. And many, many, including myself, have allowed our earthly ministries to come before the greatest of all ministries, and that is behind the doors of my home to my wife and to my children. Where is the line, and how not to fail our loved ones by going too far over the line? I'm trying hard to learn it. I don't want to lose you, Talmadge, and I don't want to lose you, Maddie, because you've seen me forsake you for the ministry. I want you, and I don't want to be the hypocrite at home or anything right now, and I apologize to all 3 of you, and I'm trying to learn. But praise God today,
Jesus showed us what it meant to be the greatest of family men, of the greatest of family, and He made sure that His mama was took care of before He left this world. And praise God, we need to still in our heart today that no matter what comes, our family will know, one, that we love them, and two, we love Jesus, and three, we want them to love Jesus more than we do. Amen? You see, we see in Jesus Christ as He was hanging there on the cross, we see the greatest of all intercessors. We see the greatest of all salvations. We see the greatest of all family men. But then we see the greatest of all spiritual suffering. The greatest of all spiritual suffering. Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. Matthew 27:46 says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" Mark 15:34 is almost verbatim as Matthew 27:46. "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" All of us has heard that before, hadn't we? But let's slow down a minute. And let's think about and really consider what Jesus is saying here. And if we do, it's very eye-opening. This morning I made a brief count of the Gospels where Jesus Christ refers to the Heavenly Father as my Father, which is in heaven. Over 90 times within the Gospels does Jesus say, my Father, which is in heaven, or something to that effect. But on the other hand, and again, I'm not saying these are accurate, I'm just saying in a brief note, where I looked up my Father, and then the next one I looked up was how many times did Jesus say, my God? Remember my Father? I counted over 90 times that He called Him my Father, which is in heaven. But then on the other hand, only 11 times did I count where Jesus referred to His Heavenly Father as God or my God. And then, and when He does, listen, it's like over in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 35. "Whosoever does the will of God, they are my brother, they are my sister, they are my mother." Or it's like in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, where He is quoting Isaiah, or something like that, where He's saying, my God. Or then there's over like in John chapter 20, verse 27, where Jesus says to her, one of the Marys, He says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say unto them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." So you see that even in the referencing of it, it is still in reference to Him being His Father and our Father, being His God and our God. But yet here, four, listen, when Jesus refers to His Heavenly Father as my God, four of the 11 times is found in Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. Almost half the time that He refers to His Father in heaven as God is when He's hanging there on the cross and He's crying out, "Where are you? Why have you left me here?" The Bible says this, that Jesus knew no sin, but yet He became sin so that you and I might become His righteousness and have the relationship with our Creator. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For all of eternity, as long as there's ever been up to the cross, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have been one Godhead. They have been locked in unity, love, and oneness with one another. But for a moment on the cross, just for a moment, listen to what Isaiah 53 says. Isaiah 53:4, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Isaiah 53:10 and 11, "Yet it was the will of God to crush Him. He, meaning Father God, has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted as righteous. And he shall bear the iniquities, shall bear their iniquities. In that moment on the cross, now remember what it said. You remember it says from about the sixth hour to the ninth hour, what happened? Darkness was over the earth. You know what that was? That was a picture in that moment. Why? Because the Father, for your and my sake, had turned His back on His Son and was not in unity with the Son at that moment. Why? Because the Father could not look upon sin. And Jesus became our sin and died on our cross so that you and I could have His righteousness. And in that moment, that's why He cried, my God, why have You put me here? Why have You left me in this moment? Why? Did God do that? Because He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves whosoever today. You see, as we look at the greatest of all last words, we see the greatest of intercessors. We see the greatest of salvations. We see the greatest of family men. We see the greatest of spiritual suffering. But also, in John 19:28, we see the greatest of physical sufferings. After this, John 19:28, after this, knowing that all was now finished, said, I thirst. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this morning, because basically it was the meat of all last Sunday's message. But if you'll remember, the physical and the emotional stress that Jesus went through on the cross was the most excruciating torment that man has ever known. Remember, the word excruciating comes from the word crucify. It was so bad that they had to come up with their own term to define the type of torture that man went through on the cross. The Bible says that his vesture was marred so that you wouldn't even want to look on it. We talked about all the damage that was done to him by the cat of nine tails. How the nerves in his head would have been punctured by the helmet or the crown of thorns. Then we talked about how they drove the nails into his hands and his feet, specifically in the nerve centers, so that every time he would pull up and try to breathe, it would be another pain in him. But think about this as well. The Bible says it was so great of a torment that in the garden, three times he prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. What was that cup? It was the spiritual torture that he went through on the cross, but it was the physical torture as well. So we see the greatest of all last words, and we see the greatest of all spiritual suffering, and we see the greatest of all physical sufferings. But there in John 19:30, we see the greatest of all personal surrenders. We see the greatest of all personal surrenders. John 19:30. And when Jesus received the sour wine, what did He say? He said, it is finished. It is finished. One of the most dramatic and beautifully honest pictures of personal surrender is seen in Christ Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way up to His death on the cross. Remember, Matthew 26:44 says that He prayed a total of three times. Ask Him, and it was so great the capillaries around His sweat glands burst, is what we believe. But if we take a closer look at the life of Jesus Christ, the entirety of His life is a perfect example of personal surrender. John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Who is that? The Heavenly Father. The whole life of Jesus Christ was not set out to accomplish His human desires, nor the personal goals that He or His family had set for Him. It was to serve and honor the one true and living God with His everyday coming and goings. Everything He did was to glorify every day Jesus died to self so that He could live to Christ Jesus. In the greatest of all personal surrenders, Jesus Christ had accomplished when He died on the cross and He said, "It is finished." What He was saying in that moment was, "Everything, Father, You have required of me in this physical realm, I have accomplished." But you know what else He was saying? "Everything You will ever require from anybody that ever draws breath, I have accomplished." Do you realize today that there is nothing you can do to add to what Jesus finished on the cross? And if we think we can, then we're making less of what He did. If He says it's over, then it's over. And you know what? After we're saved, we don't do anything. We don't live in a certain way to stay saved. We do it to glorify Him who has saved us. Amen? Praise God. It is finished. Today, at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you need to, you can do it right now. You know why? Because there ain't nothing else you have to do. And I hate the words accept or receive Jesus as your personal Savior, because you know what? It sounds like we actually do something in it. You know what it means to truly take Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It means to simply surrender. Huh? It means to simply surrender and agree with Him. You've done it all. I can do nothing, but You've done it all. The last one thing that He said, we see the greatest of all sacrifices. The greatest. I'm going to get y'all out of here early today, boys and girls. The greatest of all sacrifices. In Matthew 27:50, it says this, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up the Spirit." Then again in Mark 15:37, it says, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed His last." But see, it is Luke who tells us what the last cry was. Luke 23:46, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, 'Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit.' And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." We've looked in the Old Testament over the past few weeks, and we've seen the prophecies foretelling the Messiah, foretelling the sacrifice, such as we just read over in Isaiah 53 that He would go through, and how He would be the perfect sacrifice, and He would lay His life down for our sins, but not only, or for whosoever sins. But not only that, but during His ministry, Jesus Christ foretold His death and His sacrifice for sin. Listen to this. In Matthew 16:21-22, Matthew 17:22-23, Matthew 20:17-19, Mark 8:31-32, Mark 9:30-32, Mark 10:32-34, Luke 9:21-22, Luke 9:43-45, and Luke 18:31-34. And I didn't even mention anything out of John yet, but all of those was Jesus saying, "Now I'm going to die for man, and I'm going to rise again on the third day." But the thing here is this. No one had the ability to take the life of Jesus Christ. Nobody had that power. Remember, He's the one who gave life back to Lazarus. He's the one that gave life back to the widow's son of Nain. Praise God, He is life. And everything that is living, will live, or ever has lived because He is alive. You get that today? That if He's not alive, then nothing would be. But because He is alive, everything is that is. Before He was arrested, remember, before He ever went to the cross, before He ever stood before Pilate, you remember He said, I'm going to die, but nobody can take it. I'm going to lay it down. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. For this reason the Father loves me. Why? Because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down out of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up. This is the charge I have received from my Father. Again, there He's saying, this that I'm about to do, I'm going to do it because the Father wants me to do it and because it'll bring salvation. But remember when He stood before Pilate, you remember? You remember? That's good, ain't it? That's good English right there. John chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. So Pilate said to him, will you not speak to me? Ain't you going to answer me? Don't you know that I have authority to release you? Or have authority to crucify you? You better say something to me, boy, because I can let you go or I can kill you right now. And what did Jesus say? You would not have any authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has a greater sin. You see, I want you to think about this. Let's go all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve, in their free will, chose to sin against God. They did. And you know what? The devil ain't made none of us do nothing. The devil ain't caused any of us to sin. We are sinners. We like to sin. And we choose to sin. Bottom line. Therefore, because the first Adam willfully chose to sin, if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about Jesus Christ being the second Adam. And He came willfully to die on the cross to do away with the penalty of sin, praise God. So He willingly came and laid down His life on the cross for you and I today. For whosoever. You see, it's the greatest of all sacrifices. You know why? Because nobody can make Him sacrifice it. He chose to lay it down. Now, I want you to think about all these things that we've talked about this morning. We've talked about these seven things on the cross. What did He say? Remember, we look at the first one. We see the greatest of all intercessions. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to have to go back through these and look at these because I can't remember them all. Y'all know me better than that. Then we see the greatest of all salvations when He saved the one sinner there on the cross. We see the greatest of all family men when He looked out for His mama before He left this world. We see the greatest of all spiritual sacrifices. We see the greatest of all physical sacrifices and torments. And then we see the perfect sacrifice, or the perfect submission as He surrendered to the Heavenly Father. And then we see the perfect sacrifice as He says, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And He laid down. But I want you to think about this. And we know this is true, that no man comes unless he's called of the Father. There has to be Holy Ghost conviction and drawing for anybody to be saved. Amen? But also, let me tell you this. You've also got to receive it. You've got to receive it. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Well, let's look at what Stephen said. One of the first disciples of the church, but also the first martyr for the church. He was preaching over in the book of Acts, chapter 7, just before he was martyred. And in verse 51, he said this, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. We look back over in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom lands ye now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, just as it was last Sunday, so it is today. the Holy Spirit is dealing with people's hearts right now. He's letting you realize, yes, you've broken God's rules. Yes, you deserve punishment. Yes, it was your cross and my cross that Jesus died on. But at the same time, He's showing you that He loved you enough that He went through the greatest of all pursuits for you. He faced the cross. He suffered and died on the cross. And He rose up on the third day. Why? So that whosoever might be saved. Now, I'll tell you this right now. The Bible teaches us this, that His Spirit will not always strive with man. Meaning that I can't say, nor do you know that you're going to get another chance to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And let me tell you this, if you leave this world rejecting Christ Jesus, then for all of eternity, you will hear the love and the truth of Christ Jesus echo in your ears as the devil's hell consumes you over and over and over again. You say, you sound mad. I am mad because I don't want you to die and go to hell. I get mad with myself because I fail daily the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He deserves more from me. He deserves more from us. But praise God today, the one thing that He did everything for, and that's the soul of whosoever. So the number one part of our invitation as Sister Nancy and Brother Ken comes, it's the same number one as it will be every Sunday that I'm here. And that is, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please today accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You know why? Because you're not promised the next minute. You're not promised the next hour. We're not promised that we're going to come back and be able to participate in the resurrection drive-through. You see, today is the day of salvation, is what Scripture says. And praise God, you don't have to have me there. You ain't got to pray through some saint, and you ain't got to pray through Mary. All you got to do is pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I have sinned and broken your law. But I believe you loved me enough that Jesus came and He suffered for me. He died for me. And praise God, on the third day, He rose up for me. And today, if you'll take my life, I'll live it for you. And I promise you this, it may not be the last words you ever speak, but it will be the best words that you ever speak. Amen? Can I get an amen from those of you that saved this morning? Amen. All right, and here's number two. Next is this. As a believer today, I invite you to commit to looking more like Jesus tomorrow than you do today. When's the last time you've said that? Lord, my desire for tomorrow is that tomorrow I want to look more like you. I want to look more of that person's surrender that I see in you. I want it to be in my life. I want to see more of that self-sacrifice that I see in Jesus. I want to see it in my life. And Father, you know what? I want to see more of that victoria that I see on the third day when He rose up from the third day from the grave. Then I want to see more of that victory lived out in my life tomorrow than it is today. And then lastly, it's this. When's the last time you've just cried out for a family member? You say, I do it in my own closet at home. Maybe you do, and that's good. When's the last time you fell down on this altar? I promise you this. This altar wasn't built just to be steps to the pulpit. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't. And see, we as men, sometimes we think it's weak for us to go down to the altar. Others of us, we think like this. Well, they're going to think I got sin in my life. No, we know you got sin in your life because you are human, just like I got sin in my life. And I need to confess it. Today, will you just grab your family? Maybe if you got your children here, won't you go get them and bring them down to the altar and pray with them? Maybe if your children ain't here, won't you bring them down in spirit and put them on the altar and say, praise God, I want my children to be saved. You know what? Jesus' brothers, they never came to serving Jesus until after He died. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes a life lived in front of them before they'll ever come. And then they'll pick up and carry that legacy after you've gone. Not everybody's going to be saved the same way, but here's the three invitations this morning. One, if you don't know Jesus, you can today. If He's calling you, you better respond. Number two, Lord, I want to look more like You today than I did yesterday, and tomorrow more than I did today. And the third thing is this. Maybe it's not your children. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your in-laws. Maybe it's your outlaws. Maybe it's your best friends. Maybe it's your worst enemy. But we need to get serious about lost people. Not all of us are going to be Billy Sundays or Bigley Grahams, but all of us are called to be prayer warriors and intercede. Remember, He intercedes for our behalf. Remember, He says, they ignorant, they don't know what they're doing, but Lord, forgive them. You know, we need to pray for our family. Lord, they don't know You, and they messing up, but Lord, please give them one more day. Call them one more time. If that be that. And you know what? We got a list where you can put those names. But whatever your need is, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Maybe I didn't lift up what Jesus is inviting you to do today. The Holy Spirit could be moving in you in a way that I've not spoke today. It blows my mind that He's able to do that. But praise God, whatever your need is, He's able to meet it. Amen. Brother John, I'm going to ask you to step up here. And if anyone comes, need to be saved, you and others deal with them. But I'm going to go pray for my family for just a second, and I'll be back. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's a good day to be Your child. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful that You promised household salvation. And Lord, I'm thankful that You said if we raise them up in the way that they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that just as I rebelled, Lord, sometimes our children, our loved ones, they're going to rebel. But God, I'm thankful that You're greater than the rebellion. You're greater than our doubts. You're greater than our fears. You're greater than our excuses. And I pray over my children today. I pray over my wife. I pray the same over my brothers and sisters' family today. Lord, call them. Draw them. We know that no man comes, no woman comes, no child comes unless You draw them. But God, we also know today that Heavenly Father, Lord, we are rebellious people. We're stiff-necked, hard-hearted. Lord, You must break us. And so, Lord, today, break our hearts. Make us in what we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe today you need to become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Maybe you need to be rebaptized. Whatever it is, praise God, He can do it. All He asks today is that we be obedient. What is He telling you to do? It's good to see our altars full today. Praise God. Excuse me. But people are still praying. If you need to be seated or if you want to sit down, you go ahead and sit down. But praise God, the Spirit's moving today. And we don't want to rush Him. Amen. Oh, Jesus, You're good. Let us not forget the cross. Let us ever live in the shadow of the cross. But also, Lord, let us live in a celebration of the resurrection. Let the victory of Jesus be a reality in our life. I know that doesn't mean we're going to go around and just be loopy and happy and hunky-dory all the time. But God, we can live in worship and honoring You no matter what situation we're in, because You're worthy of it no matter the situation. Whatever your need is today. God bless you this morning. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today, ain't it? It's good to live in victory, ain't it? You say, I don't feel like I'm living in victory. Neither do I today. My nose is running very bad. Ain't y'all just waiting to shake my hand at the back door today? No, I ain't going back there, I promise, okay? I ain't going back there. Do we have any words of testimony, any words of praise today before we go? Don't forget, 2:30. If by any means you can be here at 2:30, there's a lot got to be done this afternoon. But it's going to get done. God knew. God, this is an appointed day and an appointed time. Amen? And I'm asking you, and Sister Tammy would ask you, you got anything you want to say? But I know we've been praying for it all week this week. We prayed, Lord, don't let it rain Sunday. It can rain every day but Sunday. Please, Lord, if it be Your will, don't let it rain on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Anyone else today?
All right. Brother Wayne, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to come and close us out this morning. Again, don't forget, do pray for Sister Henrietta and the family today. Also, there's others, you know, there's needs. But praise God, if you stop and just slow down and look around, you'll recognize a lot of prayers are being answered around us. A lot of prayers. Any other prayer need that needs to be lifted up today? It's good to see you old new faces today. Anyone? Brother Moore? Yes, Sister Sherry. Anyone else? All right, Brother Wayne.
Message that's been preached this morning, Lord, the powerful message, Lord, of just the crucifixion and what you did for us there on the cross, for all of us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we're a whosoever that you died for, Lord. We're one of those all that you died for, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we pray for our drama this evening,
yes,
Lord,
sure.
That you would you've already blessed and anointed that, Lord. You've already been there, Lord. But we just pray, Lord, that whatever we would do, Lord, would point others to you, Lord. Just as this message is done this morning, Lord, whatever we do this evening would point to you, Lord, and your salvation, Lord, through the resurrected Christ, Lord.
Yes.
We just love you and thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this beautiful sunny day, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for the protection upon our people that would be in the drama this evening, Lord. And,
yes.
And Lord, we just pray for the ones that are traveling to see it, Lord, that you would go ahead and put a hedge of protection around them too, Lord. And that, Lord, hearts would be changed, Lord, through the display of the resurrection story, Lord. Not a story, but an account of
yes.
what actually happened. We just love you and thank you for your many blessings, Lord, and all that you've done and will continue to do for us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, brother, I got to go.